The heading that I've been given to speak on is the promise of a saviour. And that is what we read in that passage in Isaiah. The promise of a saviour. And it's as relevant today as it was then, of course, when it was first written. Because we live in a very wicked world, don't we? Only over this last two or three days have we heard of some horrendous things that have actually gone on. When you think of this nuclear submarine and a guy decides to take out one of the other officers. Someone there yesterday decided to go through a shopping mall in Holland and kill six people and then shoot himself. So why do we need a saviour? Why do we need a saviour? Well, the cause of the need of a saviour is if we look in the first book of the Bible, it says this. Then the Lord God called to Adam and said to him, "Where are you?" So he said, "I heard your voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself." And he said, "Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree of which I commanded you that you should not eat?" Then the man said, "The woman whom you gave to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I ate." And the Lord said to the woman, "What is this that you have done?" And the woman said, "The serpent deceived me, and I ate." So the Lord said to the serpent, "Because you have done this, you are cursed more than any cattle and more any other beast of the field. And on your belly you shall go, and dust you will eat all the days of your life." That is the reason that we have in this world today the need for someone to be a saviour, to come to bring us back to a situation of that God actually made us for. The effect of what happened there is, we read in verse 24, "So he drove out the man, and he placed cherubim on the east of the garden of Eden, and a flaming sword which was turned every way to guard the way to the tree of life." God said, "You can no longer be in my presence, because of something that you did. I commanded you not to do something, and you did it. And that is sin. And the effect of that is, you are cast out from my presence." But then we read, this is what God said to Satan. "I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel." God said right back there at the beginning, this was before the Jewish nation ever came into being, I'm going to give someone that will enable mankind to come back to be the saviour, the one that will actually give enable people to be back into my presence and to be in communion with me. Right back there, God knew that what he was going to do. It was something in the future. As I say, it was before the Jewish nation came into being, before Noah. All these things God had actually prepared of this for it. And that passage we read in Isaiah is when this promise was actually given, and it was given to the Jewish nation because the Jews were the nation that God had brought together to be an example to all the other nations around about them, that they worshipped the true God. All the other nations didn't. They worshipped false gods. But the Jews were to worship the true God. And so he gave to them this promise that, where we read that, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given." And what his name was going to be, it was going to be Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God. In the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. Upon the throne of David and over his kingdom. I'd like to just think about who David was for a minute. Because when you think about it, it was really because of how they looked at David, was how the Jews started or got their wires crossed, as it were. When we first hear of David, you remember he killed Goliath. He was the one Saul wanted someone to... he came to Saul and he said, "Well, I'll take this guy on." And he did. And then we read a bit further on, and what happened? The people started to say about David, "Saul kills his thousands, but David kills his tens of thousands." David was a warrior king. He was one who, he was a man's man, as you might say as well. He really was one who stood out before all of them. He wasn't chosen by the people, but he had a heart for God. And he was the one who, he was a real leader of people. And people, he drew the whole of the Israel nation together. Yes, he did do several things that weren't of any credit to him. He took another man's wife, and he had several wives come to that, but so did several other people at that time anyway. But he was a man who they could, the children of Israel could actually follow. And they thought, that's who this king would be. When we think about when the Saviour came, when the Lord Jesus Christ came, and when he was doing several things, they wanted a king that was going to turf out the Roman Empire, that was going to be as powerful as David had been. That's why I say they got their wires crossed, because when you, that part of that little passage came after what it said that the Saviour was going to be. The child, he was, his government was to be his soul, and he is to be called Wonderful. Just think about how when the Lord Jesus Christ, during his ministry, what he actually did. He did some wonderful things. You know, I'm sure all the people at the feeding of the 5,000, they were all amazed. The fact that he was able to feed all those people from five loaves and two fish. He gave sight to the blind. How wonderful that was for those people. The many miracles that he did. When he's on the lake and a storm came, "Peace, be still." And what did it say here? He's going to be the Prince of Peace, which he is. Everything that the Lord Jesus Christ did was gentle, but exactly as it should be. Something else that is mentioned there, a counsellor. Many people in this day and age now, because of various pressures upon people, they say, "Oh, well, you better go and see a counsellor. They'll get you put straight." But when you think about it, when the Lord Jesus Christ was here, when people came to him and asked him questions, He gave them truthful answers. He didn't, beat them over the head and say, "Oh, this is what you've got to do." He just gave them a complete answer to what their problem was. Do you remember the young man who came to him? And he said, "What must I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus said, "Well, keep the commandments." And he said, "I've done all that. Well, from when I was a boy, I've kept all the commandments." So he said, "Well, just sell all you have and come and follow me." You see, the young man couldn't do that because he put more importance on the things of this life than a life after this one. And Jesus said Jesus loved him. He really wanted him to follow him, as he does to everybody. But we tend to think that we know best, don't we? And then, of course, there was Nicodemus who came to Jesus and said, "Oh, good master." And Jesus said, "You've got to be born again." And he couldn't understand it. And this was a man who was, of the higher echelons of the then church, as you might call it. He gave good counsel. And Jesus is the only one that does give good counsel. The attributes that the Lord Jesus Christ gave there, and that is mentioned there, of that he is wonderful, and he's a counselor, he's a mighty God, he does such wonderful things, are so relevant and attributes that we need today. But just as the Jews were deceived into thinking that he wasn't, it was exactly the same with Eve, wasn't it? She was deceived by the big deceiver, by Satan himself. And we are related to them, to Adam and Eve. That infection that they got right back there at the beginning is in every one of us. As I mentioned just a moment ago, the things that have happened in the news just recently. Is it evident of the evil and the wickedness that's in the world today? And sin is this big barrier between us and God. So we need a saviour. Deceiving does still go on today. There are people who say, "Oh, there's many ways to God. I don't have to go to church, or I don't have to do this. I'm sure I'm going to be all right." That isn't what the Bible says. It says you need a saviour. It's a false sense of security, a false sense of being all right with God. Not everybody will go to heaven, as it said in that psalm. The wicked, God will destroy. There are other ways in which people are deceived as well, with people like the Jehovah's Witnesses, who sadly will try and deflect us away from the fact that we need to accept the Lord Jesus Christ, and only that. The way in which they will try and tell you that you've got to do certain things, and then it will make you all right with God. It's like saying, if I do this good and that good, God will allow me in. That isn't how it works. We are only accepted by God by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And more in society today, and men and women individually, need the Saviour. Mankind was cast out of paradise and in that garden because of the disobedience, weren't they? For God to accept us, we need to be made clean, and that can only be by the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are justified or restored by faith in the Lord Jesus. And we are to believe in a God who is there, not some airy-fairy person that doesn't really exist. So don't let us misunderstand what God has said here in Scripture. He's not going to say, "Oh, it's all right." We have to face the Lord Jesus Christ face to face and realize that he is wonderful. He is a counselor. He is the mighty God, and he is everlasting. Remember, God would not have gone through all the pain and suffering of his son dying on the cross and being raised again from the dead if there'd been an easier way to make us acceptable to God. He wouldn't have done it. And as Jesus said, when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane, he said, "Father, if there is another way, but it's your will, not mine, to be done." We are made right in God's sight by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, the Saviour of the world, as promised in that passage in Isaiah. Given at Christmas, wasn't it? The promise was actually given to us. It was completed at Easter, which we celebrate shortly. And thankfully, it's still available now to everyone who will believe in the Lord Jesus. The trouble is, many of us are deceived by the big deceiver who deceived Adam and Eve right back then. Don't allow him to deceive us any longer into thinking that, you know, just half-truths that we think, oh, well, does the Bible really mean that, or does it mean something else? The basic fact is that the Bible in a whole is true, and it is the only way in which God communicates to us now in this day and age. With that in mind, let us take our hymn books and sing hymn number 700, thinking of the Lord Jesus and what he did for us. "Thou who wast rich beyond all splendor, all for love's sake becamest poor." Number 700.